Now is the time for all who choose to follow me. Now is the time to bring healing, justice, vision, freedom to all humanity. Now is the time. And verse 19 says, and the time of the Lord's favor has come. You see, now is the time of the Lord's favor. We still live in that time. We still live in a time where God has got heaven open. We still live in a time where God is reaching out to humanity. We still live in a time where God is pouring out his blessings. We still live in a time when all who come to Jesus Christ will be saved and taken into the kingdom of God. We live in truly an exciting time. We live in the time of the Lord's favor. Now is that time. 2010 is the year of the Lord's favor. 2010 is the time when all who decide to come to Jesus Christ will come into the kingdom of God. It's not next year, it's now. Now is the time. We're in for a fantastic 2010 because now is the time. Now is the time. 2 Corinthians verse 6 says, at just the right time I heard you, and on the day of salvation I helped you. Indeed, that time is now. Today is the day of salvation. It's time. Today is the day of salvation. Let's have a look. It's amazing, isn't it? I get very inspired every time I read those verses because it was the mandate of Jesus. He talked about truth and justice and freedom for humanity, and 2,000 years on, we can apply those things like never before to the world that we live in. And I get so inspired when I read that in Luke chapter 4 or where those verses out of Isaiah, they just do something to me because that was the mandate that Jesus had, and as his disciples we share in that, and we share in that same mandate, and that's what we're called to do, and that's how we're called to live. But how did he arrive at that point? How did he arrive at that place where he was able to walk into the synagogue and say, now is the time? Now is the time. You see, that was big for them. Because they weren't living in the now. They were projecting forward to when a Messiah might come and set them free. See, everything about them wasn't fixing up what was going on now. It was about maintaining what they had so that sometime when a Messiah came, that they would be set free. And they weren't really taking advantage of everything that they had. That they were living that now was going to not the time. The time was going to be later on. But we live in a fantastic time because now is the time. Now is the time of the Lord's favor. So how did Jesus arrive at that point? How did he get to that place? I want us to look from the example of Jesus at how we can be it's time now people. How can we be it's time now people? We are a new person, but let's have a look at this. In Luke chapter 4, and if we go back to verse 1, it says this. It says, then Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan River, and he was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Now, when it says he returned from the Jordan River, it means that he was baptized. And as I take it, he was completely baptized. The thing about being baptized is that baptism means to be fully immersed. It means to be absolutely dunked. Saturated. There is no other word for it. It was interesting. The word came into the English language, baptized, because when the King James Bible was written, the sprinkling thing was already very well entrenched in the Anglican Church, and they didn't want to upset things, so they actually brought this other word, baptize, in, so that people didn't quite understand that it actually meant to be fully dunked. Now whether you've been sprinkled or dunked is probably not the important thing, but the important thing is that you understand that when you come into the kingdom of God, you need to be baptized. You need to be fully immersed in the presence of God. You need to be fully engaged in him. And Jesus was baptized. He was completely filled with the Spirit of God. Not just a little bit. It wasn't just like, oh, I've been in church praising God and I felt good for a little while. It was like he was fully immersed in the Spirit of God. He was baptized. So that's the first thing. If we want to be one of those sort of people, if we want to be an it's time now person, to be an it's time person, we need to be full of the Spirit. The second thing is we need to be led by the Spirit. It says he was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. See, people that are full of the Spirit actually hear the voice of God, and we decide that we're going to be led by the Spirit. We're going to allow the Spirit to take us on a journey. We're going to allow the Spirit to take us where we need to go. We're going to be Spirit-led people. And I want to encourage you, if you want to be an it's now, it's time now person, if you want to be an it's time person, you need to be led by the Spirit. There will be opportunities every single day, and they won't be necessarily for tomorrow, they'll be for then. There'll be an opportunity for you to speak to somebody. There'll be opportunity for you to reach out a hand of friendship. There'll be an opportunity for you to stop in the street and help somebody. And you never know what happens with those things. But those times are now. And the Spirit of God often speaks to us in the now. And He often leads us when it's not that convenient. You know, you're running back to the car with all the groceries and the kids are doing their stuff, and then all of a sudden He says, you go and talk to that lady. I want you to go and help her with her groceries. And it's not convenient. But the still small voice of God leads us. The Spirit leads us. Jesus was full of the Spirit, and the Spirit led Him into the wilderness. The third thing is that we need to understand is that sometimes God will lead you into the wilderness. I think quite often we get there by ourselves, but God will at times lead you into the wilderness. You might be kicking and screaming about what a terrible year 2009 was. It was your wilderness year. Maybe God led you there. Maybe you got there all by yourself. Maybe God had to lead you on a little journey through the wilderness to get the best out of you. Maybe you're still there. Did you know that I believe that we can do the wilderness well? We can do the wilderness well. See, sometimes in a Pentecostal church we talk about, the stuff I've been talking about, that we're a new creation and God's amazing blessing and all that sort of stuff, and I believe that and I'll preach that to the day I die. But I also believe that there are times we do get led through wilderness experiences. And if we're going to be here in 20, 30, 40, 50 years, we've got to learn to do the wilderness well. We've got to learn to do it well. We've got to come through the wilderness in a good way. I believe now is the time. Now is the time to do the wilderness well. Verse 2. When He was tempted by the devil for 40 days, Jesus ate nothing at all during that time and became very hungry. Well, I guess He would be. I did a 5-day fast a while back and I found that I got very hungry. So He would have been very hungry. The devil said to Him, "If you are the Son of God, tell that stone to become a loaf of bread." To be an it's time now person, to be an it's time person, the fourth thing is, remember who you are. You see, the devil knew who Jesus was. Jesus knew who He was. But the devil knew from experience, if he brought his identity into question, that he might just bring him unstuck. He said, if you're the Son of God. He didn't question the fact that He was hungry. He knew He was hungry. He'd been watching Him. He'd been trudging around with Him in the wilderness for 40 days. He'd been on His tail the whole time. He knew that He was hungry. He says, if you're the Son of God, turn that stone into bread. He actually, the first temptation was to question His identity. It was to question the very person who He was. If we're going to do the wilderness well, we've got to be able to answer that question. Who am I? We've got to be able to answer that question of our identity. So often, I've done stupid things to prove my identity. You know, come on, Dave, prove you're a man. You know, why don't you jump off that great big cliff into the water and prove you're a man? And most of you, it's come off all right. But you see, the reason I've done that is, the adrenaline and all that, but somebody was bringing into question my identity. And we do things all the time to prove our identity. In relationships, come on, boy, prove you're a man. Prove who you are. Come on, show me. See, those things are questioning your identity. The reality is you don't have to prove anything. You don't have to prove anything. In Christ, you are a new creation. It's not out of what you do. It's about who you belong to. It's about who you are in Christ. You are a new creation. You see, the truth and the facts were right there in the wilderness. The facts were that he was hungry. The facts were that he'd been there for 40 days. The truth was God was sustaining him. You see, Jesus told him. Jesus actually said, no. Didn't even talk about his identity. He said, no. The scriptures say people do not live by bread alone. You see, he almost dismissed the facts and he said, the truth is, my God is sustaining me. My God will take me through this. My God will lead me through this wilderness. My God will give me everything I need. The truth was sustaining him. Anyone feel like they're in the wilderness at the moment? You see, the facts are, you might be in the middle of a financial wilderness. You might be in the middle of a health wilderness. You might be in the middle of a relationship wilderness. You know, God, please, you know, get me that girl, get me that man, get me that woman. You feel like you're in that relationship wilderness. I want to encourage those that feel like they're in relationship wildernesses. Allow God to lead you. Don't jump. Don't jump. I just see it. I see it so many times where people, they opt for second best. They opt for the person that God doesn't really have for them. God wants a godly man or a godly woman for you. Hang out for that one. Hang out for that right person. Even if you're in the wilderness, you can do the wilderness well. And it's not about your identity. It's not about proving that you're more woman or more man or anything else. It's about knowing who you are in Christ. It's about allowing him to sustain you through that time. The Aussie cricket team last week were in the wilderness. The facts were they'd stuffed right up. The facts were that they were on a hiding to nothing. That the facts were that very few teams ever win from the point where they were. But they just happened to be a team that said, the truth is we can still win. The truth is we can still get out of this. The truth is that we can still get through this. And we saw two batsmen come out and they batted and they batted and they batted and more than anything, they broke the heart of the opposition. Because what did they do? They knew what the facts were. They knew that very few teams win from that. They knew that they could well and truly lose that game. But what did they do? They lived and they battered in the truth that they could still win. You see, for them, it was still a bit 50-50. For us, it's 100%. We will win. We will come through. We will get through this. You will be led through this wilderness experience. Let's do the wilderness well. The truth is, God will sustain you. The truth is, you will win. The facts may be that you're in the wilderness. The truth is, God will sustain you. As I walk through the valley, the shadow of death. In other words, you're not meant to stay in that place. The moment, it's got a little bit better this morning, but my back. I went on a bushwalk during the week. It was fantastic. We spent 3 days in the Fraser. The only problem for me was that you remember me telling you last Sunday that I was preaching here and I had a roaring fever and I was loading myself up with Codral tablets and all that sort of thing. And we'd arranged this bushwalking trip and I didn't want to miss out. And while the tablets were working, I felt pretty good. Anyway, so away I went on the trip and we finally got going. And I remember the first night we get to the end of the first day and the Codral tablets ran out and I just about fell in a heap and we were going to walk a bit further but we decided to camp where we were because I'd run right out of energy. I had nothing left. Anyway, I loaded up on tablets and all that and away we went the next morning and we walked round a headland from Hazards Beach to Cook's Beach, for any of you who know the area, and then off Cook's Beach we walk up over sort of round the side of what is Mount Fraser. And any of you have done that walk, it's quite steep up there. It's very steep. Now, we were carrying our packs, and we didn't load that light because we took a few luxuries and things like that. Plus, in that place, you actually need to take water. And so I was carrying a 5-litre container of water inside my pack. And I'm going up this hill, and I thought, I was actually getting a bit worried about myself because I thought, I've got not much left in me here. You know, and the other guys are getting away from me. And the facts were that I was in trouble. I wasn't doing that well. I wasn't quite myself. Yeah, I wasn't as fit as I should be, but the flu was knocking me around 100%. But the truth was, I knew I'd get through it. The truth was, I knew I had mates with me that were going to look after me. I knew that they'd do what they could to sustain me and encourage me. And in the end, I had Dan Pastor behind me going, "Hey, you're doing well, Dave. Keep it going, keep going." And Kev Wilcock took 5 litres of water and he loaded them up in his pack. "Oh, yeah, I'll go with that." And we made it. We got through. And I knew, you see, the facts were that I shouldn't have been walking with the flu. The facts were a whole lot of things like that. The truth was, I knew I'd get through. The truth was, I knew I'd get out the other side. And you see, if you're in the wilderness right now, if you're in that place, that the facts all around you might be screaming all sorts of things. They might be screaming you're this sort of person. They might be screaming about your health. They might be screaming about your financial situation. But the truth is, you will get through. To be an it's time person, the fifth thing, and we'll finish with this point. I've got some more, and I might do them next Sunday night and rework it into another message about what it means to understand temptation and all that sort of thing. But the fifth thing is, use the word of God as your defense. The fifth thing is, use the word of God as your defense. Jesus didn't say, "Devil, you know I could turn those rocks into bread." And I reckon if I was there, you know what I would have done? I would have went looking around for a little pebble. It wasn't really big enough to do anything, but I would have found a little pebble, and I would have said, "Devil, look at this." Nice little sandwich loaf. "See, I can do it." "Now you eat it." Jesus didn't even go there, did he? It's because he knew who he was. He didn't allow his identity to be challenged. And he simply quoted the truth. The facts were, he was hungry. The facts were, he'd been fasting for 40 days. Anybody fasted for 40 days? The reality is, if you fast for 40 days without the sustenance of the Holy Spirit, you'll probably die. You'll go close to it. He was starving to death. He wasn't strong. He was weak physically. The facts were that. But the truth was, God would sustain him. And he went back to the scripture and he says, "Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." You see, we need to know the scripture. We need to have it in our hearts. We need to have it in our hands. And we need to understand it in such a way that when temptation comes, when those things are questioned, that we're not there trying to prove this and pull the next rabbit out of the hat and do the next miracle, turn little pebbles into sandwich loaves or anything like that. What we're actually doing is going back to the scripture and saying, "God, my God will sustain me." The band want to join me, please. It's time. It's our time. It's your time. 2010, I believe, is your year. 2010 is your time. 2010 is your time to really get a hold of the fact that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. Anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone, and a new life has begun. Let's not wait for 2015, 2016, when we just get through this little rebellious teenage stuff, or when we get through this situation with our family, or when we just get our head together. Your time is now. 2010 is your time. It's time. It's time to live in the reality of who you are. You are a new creation. Let's stand.